Hi, today's November 13th, 2022. This is Mobius Podcast 430. I'm Todd Agassaward, my good friend, the good Dr. John Small. And our old buddy, Sven Johansson, is back with us. And we're gonna revisit our talk, or maybe not revisit, but we're going to have a sequel to our discussion a few weeks ago about holiday gift items that we've been playing with. I think we've played with everything we mentioned. I don't think any of them is speculative. I do know I started a couple of things. First, Fitbit. Again, thanks to Fitbit for offering me a discount on a new Fitbit after my out-of-warranty Fitbit Charge 4's display just died a couple of weeks ago. I have had my Fitbit Charge 5 for a while, and as you might expect, it has a lot of enhancements over the 4, including a really bright, easy-to-read color LCD display. But I was really shocked and dismayed to find out it lost the ability to count floors when I, go up the stairs. There are two reasons I still use a Fitbit, even though I have an Apple Watch. And reason one is because I think it is more accurate counting steps. And reason two is I kind of hate to lose all the history. I think I've been using a Fitbit since 2010. And, so I've got all my steps and all my floors, total number of floors. And how many will I do before I die kind of thing. And I've determined I will not hit 10 million steps, I think. I think I'll fall shy of 10 million steps on a Fitbit. But at any rate, I was really dismayed that it didn't do, how many floors you've climbed. Because that's been really useful in the past, going up a mountain or something like that. So thank you. But still, thanks to Fitbit for offering me a discount. I made making good use of my 5. Although, boy, I tell you, boy, howdy. I had to order another wristband because the magnetic metal band I bought, a third party, not Fitbit, just did not anchor properly with the clasp in the Fitbit Charge 5. So I'm back on the band that came with it, which is better than I thought, but it's still, I just still like the metal, infinitely adjustable, so to speak. The other thing that was really disappointing is last week, John, I mentioned the USB-C tester multimeter I bought that had a real nice color display and everything, and found it really useful, and it just died. Well, let me rephrase that. It malfunctioned, where now it's showing, I sent a picture of it to the folks, but it's showing like 65 watts, even when it's not plugged into anything.
Like
5 amps, and it's just, so power is still passing through it to the device, but it just doesn't actually measure anything anymore. So that only lasted a few days. Very disappointing. It was a great product for the couple of days that it worked. Wish it was still working. Think I'm talking to the manufacturer or then maybe the vendor. We'll see if there's a way to reset it. Or I think it's a harder problem. I think it's shorted. Speaking to my list of things I've been playing with that I really like, the Anker 727 charging station, the gallium nitride, GaN, any rate, 100-watt charging station. It says it's meant for travel, but you know what? The thing I like about it is most travel devices either plug directly into the wall, which doesn't work for me, or it has a real short cord. Like hotels, I guess nowadays, a lot of them have plugs right in the, right by the desk where it's easy, or your lamp. But my home is an old home, and I don't have anything at eye level. And so this thing comes with a 5-foot cord, which is, 6 feet would have been nicer, but 5 is just fine. Works great.
We picked up a couple of those. Those are very nice for traveling.
Yeah.
I like the fact the cord comes out, too.
Yes, it's a removable.
Wrap up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of an oddball connector, but...
Yes, it is not a standard connector. Too bad it's not USB-C. But it's got two USB-Cs.
You still have to have something pretty kind of fat to plug into the wall.
It's got USB-C. Two USB-Cs, two USB-As, and a two AC sockets, which is kind of neat in such a flat little device,
It's kind of weird the first time you plug something in, a little socket actually pops up out of the thing.
Yes, which is kind of...
How's this going to work?
Right. And the reason it pops up, John, is because it is so thin. the blades of a of a AC cord would not go all the way down if it didn't.
It would go
up
through it. You know, expect holes on the other side.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that it pops up then.
It's a real clever design. I just kind of wish it had a wireless charger on the top because it's got a big flat area that just lights up.
It looks like it should.
And I bet they designed it for it and then something went wrong in engineering before they could get it through the FCC or something. And
Have you looked at the manual on what that light does?
No. What does it do?
Yeah, nothing. Actually, it's kind of interesting. There's even a switch on the side to turn that light on.
That's right. There is a switch. Yeah.
But what it does is it's, I think it's white if it's just normal. Mm-hmm. And if you get close to the 100 watts capability of the thing, it turns blue.
I did not know that. I didn't read that part of the manual, which is really small. So
it is a small manual. I read it because I said, what does this light do? Why do I have a switch for it?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, one of the things I've been using it for, or was using it for before, going back to the USB-C tester, talking about indicators, I have covers on all my iPads. And so, you know, I'd have to flip it on and flip it off and check the battery level, see if it's fully charged. And with this thing, I can just look down and see how many amps it's drawing. And if it's, you know, like a real low number, I go, oh, yeah, it's done. And I can unplug it and tuck it away or use it or whatever it is I'm doing without ever opening the cover, just kind of glancing over as I walk past it, which is just super handy. And Sven is pulling out something. He's got some cables.
Yeah. Is it this one? I've got a couple of... Yeah, that one. This cable, and I can't see if you can see it, but because I don't have any video. But that has a little monitor in it. Yeah. So
where'd that
you
come
could
from?
Use that and do the same thing you're doing. Absolutely. Just plug it in. You can find out if it's got current.
Yeah, send me a brand name or something. I've never seen that.
It's on Amazon. It's just USB-C cable tester. Yeah. Let me see if I can.
Okay.
I can look.
That is really handy. Yeah. And also, you know, it doesn't have that weight drag when you plug it into it, which I always worry about. You know, I'm going to loosen a socket or something by adding more weight than should be there. But anyway.
Look at my cable.
Yep. Well, Swin is doing that. And I also, the $160 PC I bought with Windows 11 Pro is working, maybe not surprisingly well, but I guess. You know, I wouldn't have bought it if I didn't think it wouldn't work well. And it has 8 gigs of RAM and 256, I think it's 256 gigs of SSD. Not you know, like a eMMC. It's an actual SSD. So for $160 with Windows 11 Pro, I thought it was a good deal. It's just that I'm still annoyed that, you know, Sven was commenting to me. I'm still annoyed that every time I turn it on, it updates. And I think you asked me in a chat over the week, you know, well, you got to turn it on more than once a month. And Sven, I've been turning it on like every day. So, you know, and another friend asked me, oh gosh, who was it? Might have been Frank, our mutual friend, asked me, well, don't you want a secure device? And my answer is, I would rather they have it designed it secure in the first place so they don't have to update it every time I turn it on.
Oh, we're long past that.
I gotcha.
The requests that you have, Todd, that are not reasonable anymore, unfortunately.
Yes.
So the only thing...
When you buy a car, you probably want it to start up every time, too.
You know? There you go. Yeah. I have these expectations.
Also like to not have features disabled by software updates or things like that, but that's a modern car these days, too.
Oh, yeah, or you have to pay extra for a feature that your car, something your car can do, but you didn't pay for.
Like heated seats.
The only thing I would say, and again, it's $160, right? So I'm not complaining, I'm just commenting. It would have been nice if it had a USB-C port. Not a showstopper, you know, it's not a big deal. But it, you know, it's easy enough to put a hub in through USB-A. But of course, you don't get the speed and, you know, all the other good stuff. And you can't power it with a you know, USB-C PD port, which would be nice because it's so small. Basically, it's a laptop with, you know, no lap. So really happy. It's a B-Link. Never heard of the brand before, but no problems so far. And then my $80 Acer 21-inch. And these are things, you know, I should have thought through better. But I just was kind of buying an Amazon Prime preview day, I think it was a two-day thing in October, and I saw a nice Acer, a really super thin, especially compared to the thick you know, 14-year-old behemoth LCDs I've got in my house preceding it. Super thin. The only thing I would say I wish it had, but I don't begrudge it for $80, is I wish it had built-in speakers. But that's about it. That's about it. I should have thought that through and looked for something with built-in speakers. But what I had is an old Bluetooth speaker that wasn't doing anything, so I just paired it with the PC and voila, sound. Anyhow. And I did want to note that I did notice that Amazon, by the way, this is not a plug because we don't have sponsors, although if somebody would like to pay us, yep, we'd be happy to take money. But Amazon has early Black Friday deals, and I'll put a link in the show. I put the link in the show notes. I'll put it in the blog if you're looking for something already. And I am. I've been looking for like HDMI cables, which, as you know, John knows, I had practically none of because my other displays are so old. They are DVI and VGA. Mm-hmm. So I had to buy a bunch of cables, which are fortunately reasonably priced. You know, I think all the cables I bought were under, all together, all total was under $50. And I bought a whole bunch in the different lengths. And anyway. All right, John, you got some picks.
Yeah, I went through and kind of looked at everything from the last year that I've bought and picked out my four favorites that I thought might be useful. The first I've mentioned on here before is the backpack by Linus Tech Tips. Mm-hmm. It is still hard to get. They're fulfilling orders. And so if you buy it, it probably will not show up in time for Christmas. But you'll have it in time for presumably summer travel next year.
Yeah.
But the only reason I had to put it on the list, even though you couldn't get it for Christmas, is the fact that it must mean something that I've been using it for about 2 months straight and haven't been tempted to switch away.
Right.
Generally, by this point, I have plenty of other bags, and the grass always looks greener on the other side. This thing looks like a giant box, which it is, but it is a lightweight giant box. And when it's on your back, you don't really care how it looks because you don't see it. So I've been using it and been very happy with it. It has just the right amount of organizational pockets for me and just the right amount of large cavernous spaces. That, and it also has, it actually supports a laptop, two tablets, and a portable gaming device if you've had all four of those things. And it's very hard to find something that has two of the two tablet pouches. Anyway, that's the first. The second,
I just want to mention, it's the Scotty Vest of backpacks.
It kind of is. It kind of is. The next that I was going to talk about is this advertising LED sign that I bought about 2 months ago on Amazon. It is just a flat LED sign, but I have it hanging on the outside of my office door. And the cable is thin enough that I can route it behind the door and power it over USB. It's about $50, although the price goes up and down here and there. Mm-hmm. And what I have found very useful about it is that it'll retain the message that I have on. So while the message gets programmed over Bluetooth, mm-hmm, if I am thinking about it in advance, I can go, okay, when I get in here after this meeting, if I just want to turn it on, I can then program it to already say when I'll be back. Or if I, you know, I'm on a phone call, I can from my phone control it and change it to say on phone so that people don't interrupt and those sorts of things. So it's kind of fun. It's got some animations on it that are pretty neat and interesting to play with as well.
So, John, looking at it, it looks like it's bendable.
It is. It is flexible. And so it's not as rigid. And the cable is just a ribbon cable that can go, like I said, it goes between the door and the wall. Yeah. So without any kind of pinching.
That's brilliant, actually.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was quite happy with it. And I still am. And it has not died yet. So I'm happy about that, too.
Oddly enough, for really, really old kind of semi-relevant stuff, was when I was an electrical engineering student. This was back in 1980. That was a long time ago. One of the professors wanted me as a project to build something kind of like this with just, you know, the old eight segment LEDs, mm-hmm, just so he could put it outside his doors to say, come in, you know, or come, mm-hmm,
yeah,
out or something like that. But that was, you know, was that 40 years ago now?
Yeah. So,
and now and you buy them on Amazon for $60.
Yeah, that was exactly the reason I sort of got it, because there's enough times where I need to send a message, and I had a bunch of sticky notes on the back of my door, you know, back at 5, back at 3 o'clock, back at this time. Or come in or knock or space heater on, just knock, I'm available, you know, whatever it might be, so that people knew what was going on.
John, I assume you're talking the one you bought is the 15-inch by 4-inch. There's also a 7-inch by 3-inch that's only $30. So, you know, if you want like a nameplate with an occasional tiny message, I guess, it was an even smaller and cheaper one. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bought the 15 by 4. So it's useful. They also, you know, sort of advertise this. You could put it in your back window or your front window of your car and control it from there. I don't know if you really want to be literally sending messages like that, but I suppose you could.
Well, if you're a salesperson, maybe, you know, like call, you know, 888-888-1234 for whatever.
Well, many of the graphics that it comes preloaded in the app with are for Uber and Lyft.
Oh.
So I think that's what it's also designed for, so that people know which vehicle they should get into and that sort of thing.
That's actually a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. So those two items were this fall. I purchased both of those. These other two I've had a little bit longer. The first I got when I bought my e-bike, which is a Tunai button Bluetooth remote control. And what it is simply a button pad with about six or seven different buttons, including media transport controls and other, you know, call answer, call reject, those sorts of things. I mount it on the handlebars of my bike so that I can control audio, because Siri does not always listen properly when the wind is whipping past my AirPods and those sorts of things. So sometimes, and plus I can pause the music real quick, or I can up and down the volume, whatever I need. And you could also use this in a older car that doesn't have you know, Bluetooth control built in. Maybe you're using a cassette adapter or an aux cable and you want to just be able to control your media. So a very useful little thing and relatively cheap, $36. I've been quite happy with it. And it's a magnetic connection to the mount. So if you do put it on a bike or put it on something that you need to grab it so that someone else doesn't rip it off, it's really easy to remove and re-add on. So it has a portability factor to it as well. And the last item, as Todd said, is a little scary if you look at the graphic. It is a USB-powered hand warmer. It's actually two hand warmers that connect magnetically together, so you can use it as one big unit, or you can separate them, put one in each hand. I bought these last winter and was very happy with them because it simply made sure that when I was walking in 30-degree weather, my hands might get cold, but they didn't get so cold they were dangerously cold. So
that's Fahrenheit. So you may not be familiar with 30 degrees as an actual temperature.
So, and there's only the United States. I don't recognize the existence of any other country. I've gone, I'm in the South, remember? There's nowhere else that I would need to clarify for. Yes, 30 degrees or below zero for those that are not in Fahrenheit. Cold, whatever cold is your definition. But these things, and they also function, oddly enough, as external batteries. So you can plug in devices and charge off of them. But I've been quite happy with them, and I think my wife has wanted a pair, so I don't know, I might get another one of these at some point. They do go up and down in price, so putting a price alert on them will make sure that you get the best price on them, especially as the holiday season comes up. I'm sure they'll be bouncing around price-wise.
You know, I got to tell you.
That's the best stuff I found.
There are so many products I've seen over the years that, you know, make a lot of sense in every place but Hawaii. Or at least most parts of Hawaii. I was in Sam's Club a couple of years ago, right around the holidays, and I saw like a, what do you call those? Like a beanie cap, you know, like a woolen beanie cap that had Bluetooth speakers built in. I have seen people in Hawaii wearing beanie caps, and I think they're insane, because when it's 85 degrees and you've got to be, you're just asking for heat stroke, in my opinion. But at any rate, I thought, now that would be very cool to have, you know, a beanie cap with a Bluetooth headset built in to the beanie cap. I don't know how you wash the cap. I assume the headset is somehow removable, so you can wash the cap or, you know.
I actually have one of those around here somewhere that someone gave me as a gift, and I have not looked at them recently, but I'll have to dig them out and tell you how you are supposed to wash them.
And also Scotty Vest, you know, which I have a lot of Scotty Vest shirts and things. And a bunch of jackets and hoodies and things, surprisingly, because, you know, back in the day when I used to travel to places colder than Hawaii, which is pretty much every place except Hawaii. And I guess I made some use of them, but there are some jackets I've used maybe 2 weeks total. It's the entire time I've owned them, so maybe it's time to sell them. But when you need a jacket, you need a jacket. I've seen people... I was once on a flight to Chicago in January, and I saw this guy a couple of rows down from me wearing like shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm thinking, I hope he changes before we get to O'Hare, because you know, Chicago in January gets a bit chilly, at least chillier than Hawaii. So
just a little bit. Well, and as I mentioned to you before we started talking, I also advocate for these things in very cold buildings if you find that your fingers get cold because the air conditioning in your office is too strong. This might also be useful for you.
Yeah, you know, actually, even in Hawaii, you know, we have a data center in our building, and for whatever reason, the people who run the chiller system did not know how to actually run it for like years until we kind of finally forced the issue and had somebody else look at it. And so basically the chiller was running way colder than we really needed in the data center, especially as we started removing equipment and, you know, heat sources disappeared and the chiller was set to the same. It got colder and colder. I think it was down to about 59 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were wearing gloves and had little, you know, space heaters, which you're not supposed to have in our building because, you know, data center, you know, bad fire idea. but at any rate... yeah, actually, there are places in Hawaii where you could use that. And again, I think these people are just asking for heat stroke, because I see people with, like, thick parka-type things on in 80-degree weather, and I do not understand it. Maybe they have a medical condition. I don't know. But it makes no sense.
Some places it's a fashion thing.
I don't know. I don't know how you can even function with a jacket in 80-degree weather. There you go. All right.
So I guess we're up to my section here.
Yes,
I thought about doing this kind of same thing John said, is go back over the list. It's very easy for me. I just go to Amazon and say, look at orders and go back. But if I did a year, we'd be here for, you know, several days. But the couple of things I've gotten recently, and I know some people know these are out. John mentioned it before we started here, is that he turned his... He fired his stuff up, and immediately his camera gravitated to his iPhone.
Yeah.
To his iPhone, mm-hmm. Because they've got this new continuity camera thing. And if your iPhone is close to your Mac, when you fire up some kind of a video something, Teams or iMessage or whatever, it feels like you should use your iPhone because it's got a better camera. The scary part, though, is when it does it takes the back camera, because those are the better cameras. So if you're looking at your iPhone, would the other people see everything that you're looking at, not you?
Right.
But anyway, since they've given that, created that, now you have a market for how do you mount your iPhone to your Mac or your iMac or whatever you've got. And Belkin was one of the first ones that said they were going to do something.
Yeah.
And what they created was this little tiny disc, and I'm holding up, I got it in the notes there. But I think it's a little expensive, but it's really, really well built. It's super thin. It's way thinner than I really kind of expected for stuff that I've seen like this. It's got a couple of nice features on it. It's got a ring on the back, so you can use it as your kind of a pop socket sort of thing to hold. I found it grips on it pretty well. And the only drawback that I've got to mention is they designed this. It's got a little shelf that pulls out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm putting it. That is thick enough for a MacBook. It is not thick enough for an iMac. It's not thick enough for an iPad. It's not thick enough it's not. It won't fit on an iPad. It won't fit on my Surface. It is for a MacBook. And you know how thin MacBook screens are.
Yeah.
But Belkin does say that they're making one that's bigger, you know, for something else. But if you got a MacBook and an iPhone, this is an outstanding little product. They come in black and white. So It's something you keep on the back of your iPhone very easily. It really doesn't take up a lot of space. So that's one. But since when I got it, first thing I tried to do is stick it on the top of my iMac. That didn't work. It's too thin. So I looked, okay, what can I use? And I found this partial monstrosity. It's a kind of a flat thing that you can mount your iPhone. It's got an iPhone mount on
it.
Now, if you're looking at it, it's got a little ball mount on it. That doesn't come with it, because the first thing I found when you put this on, that you don't have any adjustments on it. iPhone is kind of, where it is. So I got a ball mount to stick on it. But that's one way of getting around doing it. So that's a nice little ball mount, too, because it's really got one little lever there.
Yeah.
And just flips down. You can tighten it up pretty good. So that would work on the back of an iMac or anything else you'd want it on. And it would travel well, because it all unscrews apart.
Falls, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the continuity camera thing, if you're wanting to put it on an iMac or something else other than a MacBook, that would work. Then we go into a real strange different way. Fire tablet. I picked one up, Fire tablet 8-inch Plus, the HD Plus, not the regular one, the Plus. And there's a significant difference in there. One of them is that it's QI charging. So it's not a bad little tablet. It's not an iPad. Doesn't plan to be. And right now, with all the sales going on, I picked this thing up for $55. It's normally $110, so it was half the price. And I bet those will show up again, deals for that. And right below that, I put the dock. That particular one, not Amazon, but somebody makes a dock for it that sets it in. And you wind up having a wireless charger for this thing that makes it very much like an 8-inch Echo Show. And the way that tablet works, if you put it in the dock, it goes into show mode, and you wind up having an Echo Show with all the things that an Echo Show does. And if you want to pick it up and use it as a tablet for, movies or email or browsing the web, you can just pick it up and walk off with it. So it's kind of a neat little thing. If you're not wanting to spend the money that you would on an iPad or Apple stuff, you want to be interested in looking at what Amazon's Echo ecosystem is like. That's a nice way to kind of get into it, not spending too much. It was about $100 to get the tablet and the dock for it. So, which is way less than any of the shows.
I just recommend if you've never used Amazon's ecosystem, if really aggressive advertising is something that you get annoyed by, don't even try. Because that is the thing that's always gotten me with Amazon, with the Fire devices, is just, turn it off, Amazon. I don't need an ad for everything.
They
disagree with you, by the way, John.
Yes, I understand that.
I don't find that too much. They do. I mean, when you buy the thing, you get it'll probably show up, unless you specifically turn it off in the order, with special offers, which is Amazon's term for ads.
Right.
But you can pay another $15 or something. I don't remember how much it was. I did it immediately and turn that off. But it's really just a lock screen ad. So whenever you unlock it, you see an ad, and then you swipe it away, and it's gone forever. Right. Well, until you turn it on again. But I don't find it super intrusive, but you do find a lot of things that when you go on Amazon things, or people that do ads for Amazon devices or programs, applications for Amazon devices, they do tend to have a lot of ads in them.
Mm-hmm.
But normal stuff like mail and whatever, you do have to work a little bit. If you want, it does not have the Play Store, not the Google Play Store on it. It's got Amazon's store. But it's not that tough to put the Google Play Store on it if that's what you're looking for. But it comes with some decent stuff. It comes with a Kindle app. Comes with a browser. Not one you're familiar with, but a browser.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's, for basic stuff, it's not bad. And I think for me, it's, I need to pick up and look up something really fast. I'll pick that thing up and look at it. But normally it just sits as a show.
I got to say, I agree with you. I assume you've got the, like you said, brand new. So you've got the 2022 version, wireless charging, and
yep.
all yep. kinds of other goodies. I have the older Fire HD minus, I guess, now. I bought it. It was like maybe, I want to say paid $50, $60 on like Amazon Prime Day or something. And you know, like you, I'm pretty happy with it. And the ads, I guess maybe because I knew buying it, I would get ads. And I was unwilling to spend the $10 or $15 extra to get rid of them or reduce them. And so I said, well, you know, it's not something I'm going to be looking at 10 hours a day. So for what I'm buying it for, to watch Amazon Prime videos when my iPad's recharging or something, you know, it's perfect, right, for that, for consuming Amazon content, so to speak, Kindle books. And
yeah. Yeah. If you're an Amazon subscriber,
yeah,
you know, you get the Amazon Prime videos, you get the Amazon music, you get the
right.
Amazon books, and you get all that stuff. And the thing's really designed well to take advantage of all that stuff.
Oh yeah, as an Amazon content delivery service, it's pretty yeah. good, and it's, you know, reasonably yeah. very reasonably priced, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now. Right now, it says it's $120, which is know, way cheaper than the cheapest iPad you could ever buy.
Yeah.
3 gigs of RAM, which is, you know, not a lot, but 32 gigs of storage, and wireless charging, which, like I said, is new to me. Mine does not have wireless charging.
Yeah. That's on the plus.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm with Sven. I guess I can live with it. I should say that other ads in other places I don't expect. Like, I was just talking to Microsoft the other day. At work, in the enterprise, I noticed ads in the Windows 10, you know, that info button in the lower right-hand corner. I don't know what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why are we getting ads in an enterprise system? Especially in a government enterprise system. Anyway. I think somebody turned it off.
And they said, why not?
Why not, exactly?
Well, and this is something that I think it definitely is up for an interesting discussion, because you said where you expect to see them.
Right.
And I'm thinking about the parents that tell me now how their children do not understand commercials. Like the concept that you would ever be interrupted while you were watching a movie or a show right. and have to watch a commercial. Right. And it's purely a thing about, if you grew up with it, you expect it, and you go, okay, that's the way the world is. I often wonder if we should start thinking about things as if we had never seen them before, because there's no reason that ads have to exist where they exist. It's always a choice by the advertiser of where to put it, and right. how much are we willing to accept where it is. So.
Right. And how it's delivered. You know, so the way Amazon delivers their ads in the Kindle doesn't bother me, because A, I expected it, and B, it's not as bad as you might think. It's basically just on the home screen and in some parts of that, some apps, I think, where it makes sense. What doesn't make sense to be
just pop up.
Yeah, my local newspaper, who I already pay I already pay actual like U.S. dollars to, because I actually get paper newspaper in addition to online. They show ads on their website. And first, you got to log in to read their news. And that's fine. You know, and I have a subscription, so I have a login that's included. And there are ads on, you know, the pages, which is also fine to me, because I see ads on the paper pages too. So I expect that. What I don't expect, I do expect it now. I just hate it. What I don't want is full page pop-ups that, you know, take a couple of 10 seconds to actually render when I'm trying to read a breaking news. And and then, you know, I have to clear the page to actually read what the breaking news is. And, you know, someday the breaking news might be, hey, there's a boulder that's rolling down the hill, and oh my gosh, it's where you live. But because I had to clear the ad, I'm dead, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
a
different
thing. Interesting way to think about advertising, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I remember when I was writing for a website where I actually got paid, I wrote a series of articles about ad blockers for iOS. And boy, the hate mail I got. It says, you know, you're on a website that has ads. I go, yeah, I know that. You know, I'm just saying that not all ads are created equal, and some are actually malware and dangerous, and you might want to be able to control it. But at any rate.
A good advertisement is one that, like, I've always been an actual fan of personalized ads.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea behind them is that you're going to tell me about a product I might not know about that I might actually find useful, which is, you know, yes, it might cause me to spend money, but it's better that I spend money every so often on something I would actually find useful than see a bunch of things that I don't care about taking up my time and effort. So If you think about it that way, if only the ads I ever saw were the ones I actually would care about and want to use, then I'm fine with that advertising.
Yeah. Ad-based support is somewhat akin to politics and religion in some discussions.
It is. But you gotta understand that there wouldn't be advertising if it didn't work, because people spend money to do that. They're not getting a return for their investment. They would quit doing it.
And I have bought stuff I've seen advertised, so it's
I absolutely don't ignore it. I did that like the other day. I saw something scrolling through in Facebook. I said, I need one of those. But I don't know if I'll ever get it, having ordered it on Facebook. I like the personalized ads like John does, but because it's something I might be interested in. The ones that bother me the most of things are the ones that I just bought.
Yes.
So you bought a set of lounge chairs for your deck or your patio.
Yep.
And now you're bombarded with, because, certainly you need more and more and more of lawn chairs for your deck. Yeah. One set just isn't going to do it. So those kind of bother me a little bit. It just, something I just bought, don't send me an ad for that thing. I just bought one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, actually.
The other thing Audible, I put in the notes, yeah.
Yeah, Audible, which is, owned by Amazon, does that, where you bought the book. You have the book in your library, and it's recommending it to you. And it says, good recommendation. I already bought it like a year ago, but oh well.
So the one last thing I put in the list was, since you brought it up, was that USB-C cable with a meter.
Yeah.
There's several of them on Amazon. And it looks just like a connector, but it's got a little screen in there, and it tells you the stuff you want to know. So what your intent was is just to, have something plugged in. You can tell if your thing's charged or not. That would do it.
Yep. It is really a useful thing to have. And sometimes, when you buy a new USB hub or something, you want to see what it's actually delivering versus what it says it is and how it compares to whatever you have already. And, just recently, my wife, for example, got the new M1 iPad Air come in the other day.
Oh, nice.
And she's never used USB-C, so I gave her some cables and stuff. And, Merry Christmas. and I have sitting, I know this is weird, but maybe not weird to Swen and John, but on our dining table, I have a USB charger on it just so you can plug in when you're sitting down. Mm-hmm. But the USB-C cable was connected to an older charging station. And I said, I bet this is not delivering a whole heck of a lot of power. So I plugged the USB-C into that, and I hauled out another one that's more a heavier duty anchor that I know delivers a lot of power. And I was like delivering half the amps of the anchor. So, it was fine for, charging headsets and things like that. But an iPad would probably take like 10 hours to charge it. So I swapped the cable to a different charger.
Well, it's also interesting to see what the thing is negotiated, whether it's doing 5 volts or 9 volts or 12 or 18. Yeah. Or
65 in the case of my broken one.
Yeah.
So, I should put a picture of it in the show notes so you can look at it later. It's quite amusing to look at. Not to me because it's broken, but it is quite. I should note that the one Swen has is out of stock. But as Swen said, there are a bunch of others.
Yeah, there's probably.
Looking
at it.
That's
the one I bought. So.
Yeah. What is your show in addition to Watts Drawn?
I think it's got I think it's just Watts.
Just Watts? Okay.
Yeah. There's one down below it. There's a Wotobius. Let's see if that one's on.
Yeah, I'm looking.
There's one also bought. There's a 6-foot Wotobius one. That's $20.
A couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple. So I will go take a look at these, and I will look for some other testers and things, because I kind of like more info sometimes, but this one's definitely definitely something interesting. Yeah, Wotobius. That's a pretty good name.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I should have read the comments. They have little word clouds above the comments. And died after 2 months, less than 2 months. So, waste of money. Not the one you bought, the other one. I'll be more careful because, it's not expensive. I think the one I bought was like $18, so I don't feel like, you know, my life is in ruins now that it doesn't work after a few days. But hey, you know, money is money, and I'm going to be a poor retiree in less than 40 days. So, you know, I need to be a lot more careful. But thanks, Sven. I will look at these and look at the word clouds much more closely now.
Yeah, sometimes the reviews on the Amazon are kind of all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's something else. Wait a minute. You know, one of the things I've been looking at is Anchor has a dock for, I think it's designed specifically for the iPad Pros. And it I think it does wireless charging, and you can also plug it in and have, you know, a bunch of USB-C ports and things like that. But it's like $100-something, so I'm going to wait for that to come down, because I kind of want it for my little retiree workspace that I've been putting together over the last couple of weeks. And yes, when I have been booting my PC more than once a month, because I've had it less than a month. But it's an interesting little low-cost project. I think everything I've bought is still in total under $500, including I bought another keyboard, because I said, you know, sometimes it's a little dim where it is. And I need a keyboard that's backlit. So I think I paid a whole $30 for backlit USB-A keyboard, because I have come to the conclusion I like wired keyboards and mice also, but I can live without a wired mouse. I did find the little trackball on the USB-A keyboard I have is just way too tiny to be useful. I'm not a real trackball fan to begin with. It's a little tiny, like smaller than a fingertip trackball, so it's really tiny to begin with, but not quite what I hoped for. So I'm not recommending that one, although I am a fan of mini keyboards. I'm also a fan of mechanical keyboards. I just can't afford them. I think the Logitech mini keyboard I was looking at was like $130, which is almost as much as my PC. So I said, no.
Yeah. But Logitechs do tend to be a little bit expensive, but they're very good.
Yeah, I do have a couple Logitech devices, none of them over $100. I have a bunch of cameras. In fact, I'm using a camera right now with my MacBook for this podcast, although we don't record video. Okie dokie. Well, then.
One thing that you brought up. Yeah. Have you seen all these cables that have little magnetic ends on them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
What do you think of those?
I'm using, I've got a couple of them. The thing that bothers me the most about them, and I've gotten different ones, is there's no standard to the connector.
Ah.
So if you find one that you really like, that has USB-C and micro USB, it may not have a lightning one. And you can't interchange these things too much. So you have to get them all from the same company.
Oh.
But one thing I have started using them for, and you triggered it because you were talking about Logitech, and I have mostly Logitech stuff. You know, I got, you know, big old mouse here. And, but if you'll look at the end of it, it's got one of those little magnetic charger connectors on it. And I just have the cable sitting here whenever I need it. I just click.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like
so
it.
That makes it very easy to, I just have it sitting there all the time and have that particular brands in all these, in my keyboards. So whenever, you know, I get the little pop-up that says your keyboard's getting low on power, I just reach over and magnetically click that thing on and good to go.
So I did not even know there were like, I didn't even know they're MagSafe like.
Yeah, they're MagSafe like things. Yeah.
You know, things aside from, you know, MagSafe itself.
Yeah. There's lots of these things. And you know, most of them, you get the cable and you get an assortment of USB-C and lightning.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I've got them over in, on the, on my Apple stuff too, on the keyboards and the mice, not the mice, of course, because you know, the charge ports on the bottom. So if you put that little dongle in there, can't use it.
Yeah.
But the keyboard and the trackpad, they're stuck in the little things are stuck in the end of it, and they don't take up any space. And so that's going to be useful. Little tip, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and I have to admit, I am using a. I had a wired USB mouse, but the wire was bothering me. First world problem. And so I dug up an old, not Bluetooth, it's an RF, like 2.4 gig, I guess, an old RF
with a dongle mouse, and that's working fine. And I found those RF mice work a lot better, a lot more stable than Bluetooth mice. They connect like instantly. They don't lose connection. They're just way better. It's just that you got to have a dongle, or you got to have Bluetooth built into. Or I mean, sorry, most PCs don't have that. Why don't they have the 2.4 gigahertz, RF radio built into notebooks and stuff? Wouldn't that make life a lot easier? So you could choose, you know, either RF mouse or Bluetooth mouse. But anyway, I digress. I was gonna ask when something shoots about a mouse, but I will email him or message him when it comes to me. Alrighty, and that I think brings to an end another Mobile Views 430. Thanks to our buddy Sven Johansson for joining us for this one. I have another toy to go look for now that's also reasonably inexpensive, under $20, so they're not going to break the pre-retiree piggy bank. Okay, gang, we will join you next time. Talk to you later.
Oh,
go ahead.